Blog Talk Radio. is the easiest thing to do, but I will wait on you. Oh, yeah. I will trust in you. Will you raise up your hands and receive Bishop James Morton?
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. We just thank you, God, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for tonight, Father. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. We give you praise. So somebody began to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Oh, God, we thank you for being our light and our salvation this evening, Father. We thank you, God, for being our rampart, Father, being our shield, God, being our buckler. Father, we thank you, God, for being a hedge of protection around us. Father, we thank you, God, for being our provider, our Jehovah Jireh, our healer, Jehovah Rapha. Thank you for being our peace. You said, my peace I leave with you. Thank you for being our peace, our shalom peace, God, that which makes complete and whole, God. The peace that passes all of our understanding. Father, we thank you, Father. We thank you for being the rose in Sharon and the lily in the valley. We thank you for being the lion of Judah. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done and doing and yet allowing to be manifested in our lives, Father. We thank you, God, for being the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, and allowing us to say, Abba, Father, we belong to you. We thank you for finding out our identity in you, Father, finding out who we are and whose we are because of who you are, Father. And we just begin to give you the praise and the honor and the glory that's due you. Father, we thank you tonight. We can't give you enough praise. We can't give you enough of adoration. We can't worship you enough. We can't tell you we love you enough. But the songwriter said, he gave me my eyes so I can see. He gave me my he keeps doing great things for me. And he said, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise him enough. And if I had 10,000 hands, I would use them just to lift him up. And because he knows me better, so much better than anyone else. And they say he takes better, so much better than even I can for myself. Yes, Lord, you keep doing great things for us, God. Even sometimes when we're not able to see, God, we don't perceive what you're doing, and we don't feel you or we don't hear you, Father. But Jesus told the disciples, he said, blessed are those who are not affected by my absence, by who I am, who's not offended by my silence, who's not offended by me not being in their presence at all times, but knowing that I'm there at all times. And we're just so grateful tonight. We're grateful, God. We're truly grateful for being in your presence. We're truly grateful. You said, our two or more gathered together, you are in the midst, Father. And we thank you for being in the midst tonight. We thank you, God, that answers prayers will be answered. Oh, we thank you, God, that intercession will take place, Father. We stand in the gap for those that don't know you tonight as their Lord and personal Savior, Father. And we yield ourselves to you, God, as yielded vessels, Father. As we decrease, God, as you increase, take our spirit and use it however you see fit. Father, we just honor you. We just honor you. We just honor you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Father, I thank you that you did not give us the spirit of fear, but you gave a spirit of love and a sound mind, God. And that mind is the same mind. You said, let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. And so it is. The next voice you'll be hearing from is none other than my queen, Evangelist Maria Flint. Give us words of inspiration.
Praise God, praise God. We just thank God for this night. We thank God for what he's doing in our lives, and we just thank God for this Thursday, this awesome, thankful Thursday. And God is saying in his whisper, I have a plan for your life. I have a life plan for you, a plan that was written into your life record before you were born. It is a plan to bring you to my heart and into my fullness. I am the God who created you and formed you in your mother's womb. My gaze was set upon you before your eyes were ever open. My plan for you will succeed, and you will one day say, Abba, you do all things well. Ephesians 2:10, in the Passion Translation, it says, we have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. God is awesome. This word is for someone on today. Just know that God has a plan for each and every one of us, and he wants the best for us. So all we have to do is live for him, worship him, and give him the glory, and watch him work on your behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God, praise God. That was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That was powerful. We just need to trust God. Amen, amen, amen. Father, we just thank you, God. We just praise you and worship you, and we magnify your name. We thank you for Evangelist Maria Flynn and the words of inspiration and that word from God that just came from Ephesians. And it's crazy because that's what God is taking us to right now. We just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for all that you've done and doing and yet going to do, God, and how you continue, God. How you continue, God, to continue to lift us up, continue to encourage us, to continue, God, to strengthen us, even in our weakest moments. So tonight, Father, as everyone on the sound of my voice, Father, I command them to yield, God, to your presence, yield to your will, yield to your desire for us, Father. Father, we decrease, God, that you increase even the more. Oh, Father, and let your Holy Spirit take over from this point on. That every word, God, that comes out of my mouth reaches the heart of your people, God, and the mind as well, Father. And we just thank you for it right now, God. In your Son Jesus' name, we pray. And so it is. And so, on Friday, give me one second, please. Bear with me. I sent a text out to my children on Friday, to my son and my daughter. And I was asking little questions to them. I had a couple of questions that I put out there to them and seeing how they were going to respond to them. And I'm just going to share them with you before we move into the Word. And one of them was saying people generally fall into one of three groups. First group is the few who make things happen. The second group is the many who watch things happen. And the third group is the overwhelming majority who have no clue of what happened. So my question then was, where do you fall? The second question was, every person is either a creator of fact or a creature of circumstance. Who are you? The last one was, some people are thermometers. They conform completely to their environment. Their behavior is definitely determined from without. Other people are thermostats. Instead of allowing their environment to control them, they determine the environment. What are you? So I went from that, and I just wanted to really let them know that their birth on earth has worth. And from that point, we were going into just understanding who we are and understanding the potential. Because I looked, and I heard Dr. Miles Monroe say that there's a lot of wealth in the cemetery and in the prisons. So I look at all these things that's going on in life, that untimely deaths, we get caught up in wrong situations at wrong times. And myself, like I said, you guys know my story. You know my testimony that I've been involved in crazy things in my early adolescence and young adulthood and all those things. But my early adult life. But those are choices that we make that dictate certain things, and it leave us with potential. What leads us to the word for tonight is, don't block my blessings. And what I'm saying is that because each and every one of us, there's potential in you. There's a reason why God allowed you to get here. And so I'm telling you, don't count yourself short. You may not have known your mother. You may not have known your father. You may have been an orphan. Or you may not have been the one that mom gave all the love to. Or again, like you may have been what, quote, unquote, the world called a bastard. But it's a reason God allows you to get here. Like even my relationship with my father, I say, man, I don't blame you for what you've done. I don't have nothing against you. But I say, because God only trusted you to get me here. The rest is up to him. Even when we witness, you know, you go out there and you witness to people, and then you feel like it's your job to get them saved and get them to the end. You witness. It's God. God does work. He said, one man plant, another water, God gives the increase. So what I'm trying to tell you is that here's the thing, what I want to encourage you about, is that your birth on earth has worked. It's a reason why you're still here right now, today, right now, tonight. It's the reason why you, even under the sound of my voice, you're hearing me, because God appointed for you to be here at this very moment, this very time. When some people didn't wake up, this morning. Some people didn't get their head to their bed last night. Some people died in accidents and untimely deaths, and some people were murdered. Some things happened. But you're here. So I'm telling you, whatever it is that God has inside of you, let's find your purpose. Let's find your gift so that you can give your gift to the world. But don't block my blessing by sitting on your gift. Don't go to Matthew, the 25th chapter, right? Matthew 25. And we're going to go to the 14th verse. So Christ said, for it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents had made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And we just said, what? Don't block my blessing. See, you've got gifts. You have talents. I don't care if it's to sing, to dance, to write. And like I said, you got some songs that have not been written are in the grave right now. Some books that have not been written are in the grave right now. Some paintings that have not been painted. Some sermons that have not been given. It's in the grave right now. All this wealth that has been manipulated and has been tricked. That's all I'm trying to say. There's a gift inside of you. There's wealth inside of you. You are wealth. Your birth on earth has worth. You're wealthy. I don't care what it feels like, what it looks like. You're made in his image, and you're made after his likeness. He said it. He said, let's make man in my image and after my likeness. Then he said it was good after he did it. So now guess what? Not only have you been made in his image after his likeness, but you are a good thing. So whatever they told you, every word curse has been spoken to you, spoken from you, spoken against you, we come against it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we run into the very assignment of the curse, void and null. I'm encouraging you not to know who you are and know whose you are. So it said the man, he hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, here's the thing. Listen to that. Enter into the joy of your master. You know, you were saying, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Are you talking about the joy of the Lord gives me strength? But how many feel defeated sometimes? How many of you feel discouraged sometimes? How many of you feel down and out sometimes? And Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended because of me. See, when I first got that, I looked at John the Baptist, right? And he was in prison right before he got his head cut off. And they sent his disciples out to talk to Jesus and asked him, are you the one or shall we search for another? Jesus said, look, man, tell him the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the blind receive sight. Look at the things that you're witnessing. And blessed is him that is not offended because of me. So now you find out that you can enter into the joy of your master. You can find out who you are in God. You find out that you, then he said that greater works, and look at this, greater works you'll do than this. You stand in the realm of greater works. Then he said, I made you in my image and not in my likeness. So then he said, when that, he said, I give you creative ability. So guess what? You don't need to wait on no prophet. The prophet, until he told me, I gave it. It's in your mouth. The power of life and death is what? In your tongue. What are you speaking over yourself lately? What do you see when you look into the mirror? Or are you a comatose believer? Are you still in a coma? And these words can't reach you till you wake up? Because when you look at people in comas, the doctors don't do any work until they come out of it. So I'm here to shock you tonight. I want to wake you up tonight. I want to make you feel something tonight about yourself and the knowledge of who you are, knowing that you are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people. There is greatness in you. And you can do all things, what? Through Christ, that strength, all things. So David encouraged himself at Ziklag. I'm telling you tonight, encourage yourself. And say, God, what shall I do? God's going to say, I tell you to pursue, baby. Go pursue and recover all. We sing a song when I was young in the church. It said, I'm going to the enemy's camp. I'm going to declare my liberty. I'm going to take back what he took from me. Tonight I'm telling you, it's time to take back what the enemy has taken from you, what he has stolen from you, what you have given to him. Allow him to manipulate. Christ said, all that you have given me I have kept. Except for the one of perdition. So you have been kept in his hands. But the only thing that happened is that we've allowed the manipulator to manipulate us and to walk outside of the safety. But I'm telling you tonight to get in his sanctuary. I'm in his safety. I want you to be in the safety of his arms. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm telling you to get under the shadow tonight of the Almighty. I'm telling you to get into the safety. Get in his sanctuary. Get into his presence and say, God, what is it about me that you love so much? What is it about me, Father, that you allow me to be here tonight for such a time as this? You allow me, God, to walk in the grace of your presence. See, I want you to figure out that you have spiritual, you have a life and not do what Adam did. And Adam committed spiritual suicide because God said, the day you touch it, the day you shall die. But see, he didn't die physically at that time. But it brought us to the death. So we can say, Adam, why did you block our blessing? But he didn't. But guess what? We can tell Judas Iscariot, thank you for what he did. Because him pushing Christ to the destiny gave us a blessing. It gave us salvation. Yes. It gave us sanctification. It gave us him saying, I'm going to leave you. I won't leave you comfortless, but I'm going to leave a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit will take the things of me and begin to give them to you. See, here's the thing what I'm telling you about. In Ephesians, the first chapter, the third verse, he tells us that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, that's the blessings that you have. And so this week, my wife said, all this week I've been just listening to different testimonies of people. And I wanted to just think about tonight, about what is your testimony? What has been your test? What has been your mess that God has allowed you to make it a message? What has been your test that God has allowed it to be your testimony? What have you gone through? And who can get something for what you've gone through? See, I know, listen, here's the thing about going through, right? It's the other side of through. We go through to get through. Not to get stuck in it. Not to be in the muck and the miry clay, but he said, I pull you out of the muck and the miry clay. But I listened to my mother's testimony. I listened to Pastor Wanda's testimony. I listened to my wife's testimony. I listened to others. You know, I listened to on the prayer line. We got guys that have been dealing with prostate cancers. And we got ladies on the line that have been dealing with cancer. Said, I defeated cancer. And that's a testimony because everybody, you don't know who's going through that. You don't know who's saying I'm going through chemo or I'm going through these things. But don't hold your mouth closed. See, what happens is that I was asking, who got something to share? Who got something that you want to give to others? And Revelation, the 12th chapter, it said they overcame, right? I'm going to just let you, I'm going to read just a little bit of it. Watch this. I'm going to start in the 10th verse. I'm starting the 7th. It said, and war broke out in heaven. Michael, the archangel, and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they were not strong enough and did not prevail. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the age-old serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, he who continually deceives and seduces the entire inhabited world. Look at where you are today. Look at the world. Look at what you watch on television. Look at the seduction and the deception. Make you feel like right is wrong and wrong is right. What immoral things happen. You know that, like you're wrong if you said God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. These are the things that they make you feel. You're wrong if you said God said the fornicators and the liars won't find themselves in the kingdom of heaven. You're wrong if you preach this gospel that God said, if you preach the kingdom of God is at hand. You're wrong because that's how Satan has deceived and has seduced. It said with seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, just as Jonas and Jambres. This is what the word says. But if you preach this, you're wrong. But here's what we're saying. He said he was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with them. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our believing brothers and sisters has been thrown down, and he who accuses them and keeps bringing charges against them before our God day and night. He's been thrown down. He's been bringing charges against us day and night. That's his job. He's the accuser of the believing brothers and sisters. But he has been thrown down. And here's how we overcome. Listen. It said, and they overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. For they did not love their life and renounced their faith even when faced with death. So how many times sometimes you feel like I can't go no more? I heard a testimony. I'm going to share this testimony with you because it really blessed me. There was a man that was a missionary, and he went to Iran. And when he went to Iran, him and his colleague, they went, when they were leaving out, the people in Iran got him out of the car, and they incarcerated him. They snatched him out. They took him captive, and they began to interrogate them, beat them, kick them, all types of things. I mean, beat them bad. I mean, put water in their mouth till they couldn't put it in their nose. It was just torturing them, tormenting them. And so they took them to, you know, isolation, solitary. They kept the friends separating them. Like, what are you here for? And they just kept beating them day and day. So this went on for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then the guy tried to, you know, every other day they'll get beat. They got fed like once or twice, very sparingly that they eat. And so the guy said he went and he tried to kill himself. He tied some rope to the one side of the bed, tied the rest of the sheet to around his neck, and tried to tie it to the cell and put his head underwater and hold his head underwater. They did it like 3 or 4 times, and he tried to do it again the 5th time. And at this point, he felt like, God, I'm here to serve you, God. Why did you allow me to be here? And why did you send me to this place? Why did you allow this to happen in my life? And so while he was doing that, the 5th time he had his head in again, and he pulled out his head, and he fell back in the cell. And he said when he fell back, a big light came up. And the light was the image of the Messiah. And he smiled at him. And he said, I'm going to take you through this. I have you. Trust me, I got you. And you're covered. So at that point, he strengthened him. And you know, it said, David said, the Lord, he laid me beside still waters. He restored my soul. He lead me down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So at that point, God began to restore his soul. And so here's what happened. One of the soldiers that came, one of the officers that came that only beat him, he said, since we're going to be seeing each other like this on a daily basis, we need to become friends. But what God told him, God said, let me go back. God told him when he said, I got you through, he said, how do you think I feel about those guys that are beating you every day? How do you think I'm concerned? What are my thoughts towards them? And he said, God, I don't know, but you know. He said, I love them the same way I love you. We talk about it in Peter. He said, God doesn't consider it slack as we count slackness, but it was it all come into the knowledge of the truth and receive salvation, receive the gift of salvation. We look at Paul and Silas, right? And it takes me back to this same very night. Like I'm telling you, don't block my blessing. What if Paul and Silas didn't, when they went to prison, they didn't start praying. They didn't start praising God in that midnight hour. But in the midst of their praising God in the midnight hour, right, they said an earthquake took place, is what I read. And they said that the chains began to fall off and the prison gates fell open. What if they just took that blessing and walked on out the door? But they were still. And then he said that the soldier came in, that was the guard, and was ready to kill himself. But they said, hey, yo, no, we're here. We're here. Now, after that, guess what happened? After that, he got saved. His family got saved. Come on. God put you in certain places, in certain situations, in certain things to go through, to get through, so you can pull other people through. We used to preach a sermon, my mother and myself, about the in-between. And I always use Six Flags for a reference. You know, when you get on that ride, you see people smiling and everything else when you get on there. And you know, so you get on. But it's toss and turns, topsy-turvy. You didn't know all of that was happening on the in-between. But at the same time, when God gave you a word, and from that word and from the manifestation of the word, there's some in-between stuff that goes on. But that in-between stuff is your blessing for somebody else. You're going to go through it, but it might be for me. So I'm telling you, don't hold back. Don't hold back your testimony. Don't hold back that gift that God has in you. Don't hold back those talents. Because when you do, you block my blessing. So back to Apostle Paul then. They said, hey, hold on, don't kill yourself. We're here. They begin to wash off their wounds and everything else and begin to get them something and put them before them, and they begin to tell him. He asked the same question, what must I do to be saved? And they begin to share with them the gift of salvation that we'll talk about a little bit more in this Ephesians. Now I'm going to go back to that, but here's what happened. So the guy said, God said, I see them the way I see you. I love them the way I love you. So he told the soldier, he said, man, from here on out, I guess we need to be friends. If I'm going to have to keep seeing you every day, in and out, you're going to keep taking me out of here, putting your hands on me, beating me, we need to be friends. By the way, my name is Dan. He reached his hand out to him. The soldier said, there's no way we can be friends. I'm who I am and you who you are. There's no way we can be friends. He said, yeah, we need to be friends. I'm going to keep seeing you every day. We need to be friends. So this went on for about like 10 minutes or so. And then the soldier eventually reached his hand out to him and shook his hand. And he said, while he shook his hand, he held his hand for about 10 minutes in an embrace. And tears began to fall down inside of his face. And then he shouted, sold his name and told him about his children. And here's what I'm getting at. So he was sitting there at night, and he heard three other soldiers talking about it. And he said, we've just read the part, and they overcame and conquered them because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. For they did not love their life and renounced their faith even when faced with death. Now watch this. He said, he overheard three other soldiers saying it. These guys are different. He said, they come here, they came in with a purpose, whether it's about living or dying. They're going to fulfill that purpose. And he said, it's something about their God. And those three men converted in this Iranian prison to the God of Jesus Christ, to the Lord and Savior. And now this man was facing the death penalty on two charges. One was preaching the gospel, and the other one was being a spy. And so when he went before the people, it's like, what are you here for? He said, I came here. He said he didn't know how to answer. He said, but the Spirit of God came over him with such power and such authority that he said, I came here to preach the gospel to you, to tell you about Jesus Christ, to tell your country about Jesus Christ and how he lived and he died and how he rose again. And he began to just talk about the blood of the Lamb, the shed blood of the Lamb. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? He's been released, and that's why you're able to hear his testimony. but he was facing death sentences. He was being beaten. And I'm telling you, the same thing that God has for him, he has for you. For what? God has no respect of person. So we're looking at Ephesians 1 and 3, right? And I asked God, first of all, I said, what is a blessing, God? I went, and God said, the blessing is the act of words, the one that blesses, says the blessing over. But he said, the blessing is this tonight. My protection, my favor. God said, my favor and my protection is the blessing over your life. My favor over your life is the blessing. What are you going through tonight? What are you experiencing? What have you gone through throughout this day? God said, my hand of protection is upon you. He said, I have kept all that you've given me, and none have been lost. See, you serve a God that keeps with the keeping anointing and that loves with unadulterated love. His love is so deep, so real. I'm saying that's so much potential in you. That's so much potential in you. You can do so much, so great, so amazing, so awesome. So amazing, so amazing. Why? Because you're made in his image and after his likeness. You're the child of God. Tell yourself, pat yourself, and say, I'm the child of the Most High. My daddy is the king. My Apostle Perry used to always say, I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire. My father's rich in houses and land, and I'm his heir. I'm a millionaire. Tell yourself, that's who you are tonight. I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire, a gazillionaire. Why? Because God said, I am. Do you know who the I am is? Do you know that you are the child of I am? Tell me who is I am. I am the bark where the tree is written, where your check is cut from. I am the minerals in the ground where they take steel to build for your car. I am the silk. I am the cotton. I am all those things that you need me to. I am what you need me to be when you need me to be. Now, not only if I am, but you're my child. I am the son of I am. So you can say whatever you want to say, but my daddy said that I am. I am blessed. Tell yourself, I am blessed. I am amazing. I am awesome. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens. Then I want you to have an imagination. I have an imagination that my dad said that he can do more than anything I can imagine or think. To him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to the power that work in me. What can you ask tonight of your Father? What can you think tonight about your Father? Who do you want to be? What do you want to do? What do you want to become? I need you to know. I need you to understand your purpose tonight. I need to know that these things don't happen. I mean, this when you get involved, like, we look at MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Something had to happen, but from that, it birthed purpose. My brother died in 1995. It birthed purpose in my mother. We started the Albert T. Mills Enrichment Center and helped kids from ages 3 to 5 that were crack babies, that was unfortunate, that were what the world called at risk. And you just to know these children, just to see these things, but to see the life that she changed, to see that the effect and the impact that she had on these lives, and not only their lives, but on their parents' lives and on the family lives. We had a young man that came in. He said, I like your church. I'm going to bring my whole family back. And he brought his whole family because of the fact that what she just did and the seed that she sown, she could have let my brother death hinder her and put her in a certain place. But she said, I got to let this death. This is Christ. He picked the prettiest flower and began to grow and to sow. And now you look at it, and see, it's so many lives that was affected, so many children lives that was affected. She was a Turner Broadcast Pathfinder of the Year. She got so many different things and accolades just because she gave of who she was. She gave of her pain. Sometimes your pain is my blessing. Sometimes your hurt, your loss, my hurt, my loss will be your blessing. I give my testimony that how many times that I should have been dead, and even as a child, my mother was told not to have me. She said, he's going to be mentally retarded, and you're going to die on the operating table. But somebody told her, that's a prophet in your womb. Either she could have rejected and just went with having the abortion, because none of the doctors wanted to have wanted to give birth to her, but she went to a private hospital, and I was born. And now I'm a blessing to the world. I'm a blessing. And she did that. And so my thing is that, and even in that time, like you said, he's the accuser of the brethren, and he kept going. We're looking, go back to Revelation, is how he kept going at the man-child and the woman. And he said, and therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, in the presence of God. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you in great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time remaining. And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who had given birth to the male child. See, he does not like you. He does not care anything about you. I'm talking to those that have been deceived by Satan, those who think they have sold their soul to Satan. And it's not even yours to sell. Those who think I've made a covenant with the devil because he promised me gifts, and he promised me women. He promised me material things. He promised me items. Man, he does not love you. I'm here to tell you tonight, God has told me he does not love you. The love of Satan is not even in him. He doesn't even know love. But God said, I come to love you. I love you. He said, I send you in your time of nativity, in your time of I washed you and the blood, and I cut your umbilical cord, and I begin to bathe you. In your time of nakedness, I covered you. Man, what a mighty God we serve. And I'm just talking to myself tonight, because there's been voices that I heard. I always said, I said, man, let's make a deal. And I told God, you've been silent, and Satan has been speaking. Because guess what? We don't like long-suffering. And in the midst of those gifts, but here's the blessing he left you. He said, I left you with the gifts of the Spirit. I left you with love. I left you with gentleness. I left you with kindness. I left you with self-control. I left you with patience. I left you with long-suffering. And we don't want those things. We didn't want those things, but here's what it is. So it said, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she can fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and a half, away from the presence of the serpent, which is Satan. And the serpent hurled water like a river out of his mouth after the woman. He hurled water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But what the earth did? But the earth helped the woman. And earth opened his mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon had hurled out of his mouth. So hear what God's saying. Even though he sent it as a flood, he said the Holy Spirit has raised up a standard and it will swallow it. I'm telling you, you serve a God that said, I will cover you. And said, even in the fire, we look at the fourth man in the fire. In the fire, they said that the clothes wasn't singed, it didn't smell like smoke, there was no burning. How many have been in that furnace, in that fiery furnace, and God has said, I'm there. In the midst of the storm, he said, though the fire kept me, it didn't burn me. Though the waters overtook me, I did not drown. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. He's not going to let it swallow you. What a mighty God we serve. I listen to testimonies. I listen to people that were atheists. And I listen to people that were lost, and people that the family didn't love them, the parents didn't love them. There was one testimony we heard. And a man was 12 years old, and his grandmama gave him crack cocaine to sell because he asked her for some money. He asked for $2 to go to the seventh grade dance. She gave him crack cocaine to sell. He said, you start selling this. And so you look at this at 12 years old, and so this was his life from that point on. But the man came to an epiphany, came to a time where God had a divine intervention with him, and he had to meet God for himself. And his life was changed forever. And guess what? After that, he went preaching. They called him the hell preacher, because he went telling folks, you're going to hell, you're doing this, you're doing that. But he began to save lives, and now he's a pastor in Montgomery, Alabama. But he began to save lives. He was going to the same club where he poisoned people, same club where and shut all his crack houses down, and began to say, man, you got to get saved. I had a friend of mine that lost his life named Nick. When Nick got saved, Nick used to it was funny. He used to get high, snorted cocaine. But he'll go out and he'll preach. He'll preach the gospel. So guess what? He affected a lot of lives in that. And I'm looking at this right here with Stephen. And even in the midst of him being martyred, they didn't block his blessing. Stephen said, I look up and I saw the light of God. He began to just testify to them about what they did. And speaking with the power and being infused with such power,
He even said, God, don't lay this to their charge. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And I see even Christ saying to Peter, and he's saying even on the cross, when he said, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And even when he said, I thirst, and even when he gave up the ghost, he began to say, I can't come down off this cross. Because like, save yourself. You can call, you're the Son of Man. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. Save yourself. But he could have easily came down off that cross. But he said, if I did that, guess what? That would be no salvation for you. That would be no sanctification for you. That would be no escaping the grave. That would be no escaping the second death. So he couldn't block the blessing. I'm saying tonight, don't block your blessing. Don't block my blessing. Get into your word. Get into your praying. Get into your fasting. And let your testimony be heard. Whatever you've gone through, whatever you're going through, that's people that's been molested. That's people that have been raped. That's people that have been kidnapped. You had what we call human trafficking was a thing now. You got all these different things that have affected lives. You got my mama didn't love me. My daddy didn't love me. I was there, but I fought through poverty. I fought through depression and oppression and suppression, possession. These are things that people need to hear. How did you do it, sister? How did you do it, brother? I did it in his word. I wasn't there when David slew Goliath. I wasn't there when Moses parted the Red Sea, but I'll tell you what, who I used to be. And I can tell you what, who I am today, and I can tell you who the reason why, or what is the reason why. The reason is that I yielded myself. I heard a word. I heard about a man who knew a man that was the man. I got in the word and said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word became living flesh. And I got into the word, and the word got into me. See, I'm going to tell you something. I was in jail. I was in the county jail in Soberton, Georgia. And I had a lot of resources, but none of that stuff would help me. God said, when I'm your enemy, I take everything you trust and I use it against you. And that's what I went through. Now, my brother was in DeKalb County Jail at the same time. And he was facing almost about 100 years. He had those five accounts of aggravated assault. He had 20 years apiece. And so I began to write a letter. I write a Dear God letter. Restore my mother, give her a new life, and, you know, God, and certain things for my brother, make things move for my brother. And so at this time, I'm in this county jail, man. It's a real crazy situation because I think I went outside three times in 9 months. The only time I went outside is because I went once to the doctor and twice because they had the grand jury come in and they sent us out and put us in this little dog pen. But anyway, I was in there and I felt like I was rotten. You know, my prayers was working for everybody else. I had other vessels out. They had parole holds. They had probation and stuff. And I would pray for these guys, and they would get out. And I'm like, God, why my prayers work for everybody else but not for me? And so, you know, we watched this movie called The Devil's Advocate, and he began, you know, Al Pacino played that role. He began to talk about how God, you know, is a jokester and how he tempts you with this and he tells you this, touch it but don't taste, and all these different things, and it made you feel like, man, God, you're a joke. And so what happened was that after that night, I went back to my bunk, and I threw away all my Bible studies, everything I had that had anything to do with God. I threw it away. So we only used the phone like once a week for like 5 minutes. So that particular time I got to use the phone that next week, I called my mother, and she told me all my brother's charges have been dropped. So I go to my bunk, right? And when I go to my bunk, I stick up my Bible and I open up my Bible. Guess what I didn't throw away, ladies and gentlemen? That Dear God letter fell right in my lap. So I'm telling you, this is how real God is. It's people that's been going through so much. I got a friend that came by yesterday and just shared with me a little bit of her testimony of what she was going through and the little torment that she was going through. But God is a restorer. Go to Joel when you get a chance, and tonight, and begin to read the book of Joel, and God said, I'll restore the years that the cankerworm and the caterpillar, the flying locusts have taken from you. And I'm telling you, that's what God is saying tonight. I'm going to restore that what has been taken from you, that what you have lost, those years that you felt like you have lost, that time. And he said, I'm restoring it. I'm restoring it in 24 hours. God said, I'm turning it around. I turn it around. I'm the God that's able. I turn it around. I do it now. He said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. So you not see it. It shall spring forth now. Now it's going to spring forth. And God, here's what God said. Once it does it, just like Christ told those lepers when he cleansed them, he said, go and tell them it came. Give your testimony. Let them know that you've been cleansed. Let them know that you've been healed. Let them know you've been delivered. Let them know you've been set free. Tonight, God said, once I move in your life, you got to let somebody know. Somebody said, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself.
Hallelujah.
Couldn't keep it to myself.
Hallelujah.
Couldn't keep it to myself. I said that I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me. And it went up and said, you should have been there when he saved my soul. You had ought to been there when he put my name on the road. And I started running, and I started walking, and I started talking, and I started shouting.
Yes.
Oh, what the Lord has done for me. I got that county jail, and I had a warrant for me in Gwinnett County for some domestic stuff. And they said, you've been here long enough, Flint. We're not going to even let you, let Gwinnett County come and get you. Go home with your family. And when they did that, guess what song I started singing? I said, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. And I said, God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
Yes.
Tonight, God is smiling on you.
Yes, he is.
He has set you free. He said, I come to set the captives free.
Yes.
He's been good to you. He's been good to you. He's been good to me. I love you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name, Father. We thank you, God, for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you're yet going to do in our lives, God. Thank you, God, for the lives that is on this line that's being represented, God, and all the testimonies that's coming forth, Father. I thank you, God, for the test, God, for the testimony. Thank you, God, for the mess, for the message. I thank you, God, for deliverance, though. I thank you, God, for the gift of salvation and sanctification that you've given us, that you've talked about, God. And I praise you even more, God. Ephesians, God, the 1:3 chapter, for the heavenly, the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, God. But I thank you tonight, God, that this night you've given your children the power and authority to call things down from the supernatural down to the natural. So, God, whatever is needed, God, that blessing that's needed, God, the healing is needed, they can snatch it from them and add it to their lives. Deliverance is needed, God, they can snatch it from them. Financial, God, financial healing, financial blessings, God. I thank you, God, for the power, God, to bring forth deliverance, God. I thank you, God, for the authority and the signet ring that they're signing on with. God, that you said, God, that you give them the keys to the kingdom, and God, we're snatching everything back from Satan that he has taken from us, God, with authority. And God, I smash every monitor that he has set up that are monitoring your children, God. Every demonic stronghold, God. You told Peter, he said, go to the water, and he said that in the fish, and that fish mouth is a diamond and a pearl, and he said, now go and pay the tithes. Here's what I'm looking to tell you what to do, God. God, every one of your children on this line that has their blessings that has been swallowed, I command the fish to come to the surface and regurgitate all of their belongings now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God. We consider it done, Father. We're not accepting no for an answer. Your word said, command ye me the things concerning the works of my hands. I command you to do it now. Healing, God. Deliverance, God. Breakthroughs, God. Financial freedom, God. Because you've given us assignments, Father. You've given us a ministry to go forth, God. But it takes resources, God. It takes these things, God. And so, God, now, and boldness, Holy Ghost boldness for your children right now. Wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Words of wisdom, God. Words of knowledge, God. Words of understanding. Infuse them with it now. Infuse them with the power. Infuse them with the power to witness, God. Infuse them with the Holy Ghost boldness, God, to boldly proclaim your gospel. So go out, God, and say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is the only government you need to be concerned about. Father, we thank you for it right now. It's in your son Jesus' name we pray. And so it is. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we're at the time, Father, where people get to share and add to, take away, multiply. Oh, God, we thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. I got you, I got you. You press one and I can see you. And then you can just begin to just share what the Lord has put on your heart. Go ahead. 6447, you're my sister.
He's wonderful. God is so wonderful. He's wonderful. I know my God. He's so wonderful. He's my shepherd. He's my God. And whatever I need, he will supply. So praise his holy name. He's so wonderful. Hallelujah. I just had to, Pastor, because he's so wonderful. I've got one of the greatest testimonies. He just keeps on doing great things for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just on this week, on the 6th, I believe it was on Tuesday, and I had gone to for me to take a test at the hospital. And I have a little fanny pack I put around my waist and keep my money, my card, my license, and all of that in it. So I'm going to have to really carry a purse. And when we got there and I had taken it off and I gave it to Pastor and she had put it up, when we got ready to leave, she gave me my coat and I handed it back to her because I needed to run to the ladies' room. She said, so I'll meet you outside with the car. So she had the purse and the coat. But when I got home, I didn't have the purse. I looked everywhere. She looked in the car. She looked in the car two or three times. There was no fanny pack. And I said, it's got my credit card, my bank card, my driver's license. It's got important papers in it. And so the most awesome thing is that God kept me calm. I didn't get out, been out of shape. I didn't start crying and carrying on. And Pastor Wanda said, she checked the banks. She checked the car. She checked everything. Nothing had been used. So I asked God, I said, God, wherever it is, hopefully it's still at the hospital. We checked there, but it was not there. And I said, wherever it is, Lord, don't let anybody take anything out of it. Don't even let them not be able to just touch it and to open it and to take my things. And I'm asking you to bring it back to me in Jesus' name. And then I remembered how it was when I was caught up in the bubble when I was supposed to be there dying. And God, the Holy Spirit, quickened me to say, God wants you to do it. You can get these demons to leave you alone. Stop inflicting pain on you by using the power and authority that he gave us through the Holy Ghost, which is that same power and authority that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. So I asked God, I told God, I said, well, in the name of Jesus, I command power and authority that my fanny pack shall come back to me. All my things shall come back to me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The next morning, I still didn't have it. But the most awesome thing is that I wasn't worried on the inside. I wasn't crying. Oh, Lord, I just got some of these cards. But see, I wasn't doing that. Hallelujah. I had a peace. And God says he gives us a peace that will surpass all of our understanding. And I'm a living witness. He keeps on doing great things for me. Pastor and evangelist came over to the house to see me. And I told evangelist about the fanny pack and that I didn't know where it was, but we had made a stop. We had stopped at the beauty supply place because we needed to get some products. And Pastor remembered, he said, when you got in the car and you asked me for your fanny pack, you said, I told you it was on your seat, so you were sitting on it. So I said, thank the Lord, because that meant when I got out the car, the fanny pack fell out on the street. But here's the miracle, and here's how God will watch over you, how God will protect what belongs to you, what he has given to you. The owner of the beauty shop, supply place, was standing outside. We didn't see him when we went in. We didn't see him when we came out. And I didn't see my fanny pack laying on the ground. But he saw it. He went over, he picked it up. This is what he told Evangelist and Pastor. But he saw it laying on the ground. He went and picked it up and carried it inside his shop and put it up, waiting for me to discover that that's where I lost it. Any good? I mean, you can't beat God. Why try to serve the devil and get his gifts that he'll only give you for a short while and then he'll take them back from you? Well, why not serve a God that can do anything but fail? So every one of my cars, my driver's license, everything was in there, hallelujah. And I just can't stop praising God. I'm so happy. Pastor's having acting like a little kid. Doing my legs up and down. But that's got some exercise in them because God is doing yet a miracle in my life. And I thank God for this opportunity. And I hope that I can encourage some of you to not get out, been out of shape when things go wrong. But talk to him. He's the only one that can set it straight. You use somebody to protect you, to help you. But all you've got to do is trust him and believe and be obedient to his word. God bless you. Hallelujah.
God bless you. Hallelujah. 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 And like, amen. I'm yet holding on. I'm yet holding on. Anybody else, press 1. I can see you. 3560, your mic is open. 3560, your mic is open. You're still here. The last one is your number, 3560.
Yeah, man. How you doing, brother? I was bringing home all of these super app, man. We just left the soccer field and they just got off the basketball court last week, so we thank God that we was able to get them back over here to this side of town. And I was listening to the broadcast, and I said, that brother's been holding back. I heard him break out in song. I said, that brother been holding back. So we're going to have to get that brother to come out and start singing some more. I said, yeah, he been holding back. And I'm going to bust it with all the brothers. So I'm going to let you know I'm putting you on notice. We're going to have you out here singing some songs, my brother. That's what I was just saying. I was encouraged by the testimony, hanging out with all of these females. But I'm going to let the brothers know that the bishop can sing, man. You've been holding back. So I share that in love. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love you. Amen. I love you. Praise God. You got testimony? Evangelist Maria Flint. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hold on. 6590, your mic is open.
Yes, I just want to say I woke up this morning with that song in my spirit, God has smiled on me. And when you say it, it just touched my heart. And I just want to thank you, Pastor and Evangelist Maria, for always, like, never giving up on what God's gave you. This truly was a blessing, and to hear your testimony. I know you for a long time, and like I never heard your testimony and to the full extent, and like it's amazing. And I just want to thank you for always encouraging me with your ministry, you and Evangelist Maria. Not only that, but encourage you to keep going. You guys are a blessing, and you never gave up on God. You never give up on God, and it's an encouragement to just be here on the line tonight, and thank you for doing this.
Amen. Amen. I'm truly, truly full at this moment, and I hope I can get through this testimony, but we have been attacked, my husband and I. We've been under attack left and right, front and back, financially, my health, just being attacked. And just sitting here and listening to the testimonies and just being blessed by this blog talk. And I looked at my... I looked at my phone, and my phone just did a ding. And as soon as I started looking at my phone, I looked at my Cash App just started dinging. And I looked at it, and it was $1,000 just put in my account. Now, I do know where it came from, but just for the time that it came, it was much needed, but God knew. And we've been staying still, and we've been being faithful, and we've been staying before Him for things to happen. And I told my husband yesterday, I said, you got to start things into existence. And just for me to just sit here and look at my phone, and it happened right now, it's all God. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful.
Praise God, praise God. It's funny because she be saying my son was having his knee was swollen, and he didn't know where it came from, why it happened, and it happened on Sunday, and I was just like I said the other night I told him what to do. I said lay your hand on your knee, and then I began to pray the prayer of healing over it. And in the text message, because he's in California, and I told my wife, I said, his knee is better now. She said, how you know? I said, I know. You know what I mean? These things I know. She's like, did you talk to him? I was like, no, I haven't heard from him. She said, because we're texting right now, and he's telling me his body is better. And so she was like, you got all, you know, you can start speaking that stuff in the middle of us. You know, but I just thank God for the affirmation and the confirmation. You know, and you can't beat God giving. When you begin to give of yourself, you give of your, I mean, when you make yourself a living sacrifice, when you say, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, and you begin to say, God, I'm a living sacrifice, you just can't beat God giving. And yes, we've been under attack, and now you know why. It's under attack just for these messages. We're going under attack just to begin to share with you guys to let you know what's going on, just to say, hey, here I am. And if God blessed us with what we already had and we was able to move forward with the ministry with all we already had, who would get the glory? George and Maria. But God said, I got to let them see. He said, I have prepared a table before you in the presence of my enemies. So I got to let them see you struggle. I got to let them see you not knowing where it's coming from. You said, I know I'm not going to lose this battle. And I know, God, you know the reason, the source of why I'm winning. And I got to let them see it. I got to be able to be a representative to say, God, you get the glory. Not me, but you. And I got to say, well, I seen him struggle. I seen him not know where it is. But God, it had to be a God. It had to be something else. That's a divine intervention. It had to be something supernatural to take them from one degree to the next degree. From one dimension to another dimension. So I'm telling you, it's God. Nobody but Jesus. Somebody says, nobody but Jesus. I'm telling you. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. But he's the way. As my wife is saying, tears of joy right now.
Yes.
And it ain't even about the
the gift. I mean, because God, he's the giver of all things. He told us, listen, man, but it's just him. And at the time, like I told you, I said, I don't know the timing. Even with the situation that we had, that we had, it was a pressing situation. But God, and then God even gave favor. I was like, what do we do? How do we get out of this? How do we do this? God said, man, it's me. It's me. Why are you trying to figure it out when I've already figured it out? Why are you trying to work it out when I've already worked it out? I'm going to give you one nugget. And hear what God said. When you stop, I start. When you stop, George Flint, I start. Isaac didn't come to Abraham, had to realize there was nothing in him that can bring him forth. And that's what God's trying to tell you. When you realize there's nothing in you that can bring this forth that I have for you, what I got inside of you, and you just allow me to just push. Just push. All I need to do is just push. Pray until something happens. Praise until something happens. Press until something happens. All I want you to do is just push. I don't want you to go speak too soon. I don't want you to move too soon. I don't want you to move out your will. I don't need you to help me. I don't need your help in this one, is what God said. This battle is not yours, it's mine, said the Lord. All I want you to do is just push. Press until something happens. Praise until something happened. Pray until something happened. I just want you to push. And guess what? I always talk about all the time. You don't even know when to push until you feel the pain. It's about the contractions and all those things. Now, when you feel the contractions and you feel that time and your water break, then you know to push. So I'm telling you now, just push. And you feel a little pain, now push. That's what God's saying. That's what God said tonight. I'm telling you to push. Get in your closets, begin to pray, begin to praise, begin to worship. And you go back to Joseph, and he sent out the praises first. He said, go send out the praises. I need some praise. That's a prayer. I need that praise on the inside to come out. Jeremiah said, I wasn't going to say nothing, but there was a fire in my bones and wouldn't let me stop, wouldn't let me be quiet. Begin to praise. Let people know how good your God is. Let them know from the rooftops, I serve a mighty God. The one and true living God. Thank you. Anybody else? Because I keep going tonight, and please forgive me. But because God, I want to add to you, press one, I can recognize you. And if he hadn't done anything for you, I'm telling you, don't block my blessing. I know everyone on this line should have a testimony. Please don't block my blessing. Share the goodness of God, what he's done for you.
God has for you. It is for you. What God has for you, it is for you. I know when God has done that he is working it out. What God has for you, it is for you. Thank you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. Well, I see nobody else want to talk to me, so I'm going to let Evangelist Maria Flint, if she can, give us a benediction. Well, let's see, full right now. My pastor wanted to give us a benediction.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, Lord, Lord. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We honor and we glorify you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. I keep hearing the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all those that dwell therein. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can't get it out, but hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for clean hands. Hallelujah. And a pure heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know it's not your normal in where, you know, closing, Father. Hallelujah. But, Lord, Lord, thank you. You say, he that abides in me, I will abide in him. Ask what you will, and I'll do it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some of you are too quiet sitting in the corner right now. Hallelujah. But they have my shot. You need to stand up. Hallelujah. He make the girl shot. Make known. Hallelujah. You need to make known. Hallelujah. Your request. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hamashata. Ella Makahu Shata. Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for each and every one on this prayer line, Lord, today, on this blog. Hallelujah. I know you have benefited. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the man of God delivering the word from God. Hallelujah, Lord, for each and every testimony. Hallelujah. Whatever the Lord speaks to your spirit to do, do it. Hallelujah. Waste not time. Hallelujah. Do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' most holiest of names. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Until next time, we love you. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. God bless you.
Sacrifice.